Welcome to the Rearview Mirror Podcast, looking back on all that we don't know and a few things that we do.
Are we on?
I think so, yep.
Welcome to season three.
Good morning. It kind of is, isn't it, after a month or so off?
Was it a month?
I think it was pretty close to it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've just been traveling so much and...
Well, you texted me and said you were tired of me, and so could we take a month off? So is this what you're telling everybody
on the air?
I'm
feeling better now. Yeah, well,
you were traveling?
Well, I was traveling and doing some very important work. No, man, I really was traveling. It was so fun.
What'd you do?
Probably the three major things. One, Laura and I just did a long weekend for our anniversary, middle of July. We went to Chattanooga. You know, when I was growing up, Chattanooga was kind of the armpit of the world. You know, I was raised in Cleveland, just outside of Chattanooga.
So what would Cleveland be? If Chattanooga's the armpit, Cleveland would be what?
I didn't even have a name for Cleveland. It seemed perfect to me compared to Chattanooga. Isn't that funny? Perspective is everything. I know.
Wow. Okay, yeah.
But, and all I hear is all these friends around Middle Tennessee that, you know, they get away for the weekends in Chattanooga and how great Chattanooga is and all. So I told Laura, I said, you know, I've not really done downtown Chattanooga in 40 years. Let's go there just for an easy getaway this year. So we did. And I would say this, we had a really good time. There's some gorgeous parts to it. You know, the Riverwalk is beautiful down there. But it's still Chattanooga.
It's still Chattanooga.
you know, there were some things we enjoyed. Found a couple really good restaurants we enjoyed. But it was a fun getaway. And that was like 3 days. And then came back home for a few days. And then our daughter Sarah, you know, Miss Adventure, I got to go do something all the time. She had planned this big trip several months ago to Wyoming. She wanted to go to the Frontier Days Rodeo, which is basically the CMA of the West, is what I've discovered.
Cheyenne?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good job, man.
I've heard that.
Yeah, and it was, and so she was going to go there, and at one point she was going to do a concert and the rodeo. Mm. And so her girlfriend that was going to go had to kind of bail last minute. So about 2.5-3 weeks before she was going, she goes, Dad, would you want to go? And I said, sure. So we did that. We flew into Denver, drove up to Cheyenne, did the rodeo, which was like unbelievable. It was all like best cowboys in the world.
And it's a real rodeo.
Gosh. You know, I know when we go to like the rodeo here, which is a great rodeo, which I always enjoy, but it's not Cheyenne, Wyoming.
No, it's not.
And, you know, you have to stay on the bull for 8 seconds. I think that's the magic number. And I think, I don't know, you see, anytime somebody stays for 8 seconds, you're just going crazy, going, man, they did it. Out there, you know, if there were 14 bull riders, like, all but two rode it for 8 seconds. Wow. I mean, they're just top of the line. And I don't know a lot about it, but gosh, it was fun.
Yeah.
And then from that, we drove basically a big circle around the state. We went to Jackson Hole and spent a day playing around there. Gosh, it's gorgeous. It was fun. Went to Grand Tetons, Yellowstone. Yeah. We went out in the east side of the park and ended up in Cody, Wyoming.
Yeah.
Went horseback riding there and then down to Casper, Wyoming, and then ended up heading back and flew back out of Denver. We probably didn't plan the trip the smartest way. We did a whole lot of driving, but it was great. It was great.
There's no bad way to do that.
Mm-mm. No, there wasn't. There wasn't.
That's just a beautiful part of the world.
And we would drive on these two-lane roads. We decided early on, let's go back roads as much as we can just to see different beauty, which was a great call.
Yeah.
And we would drive Steve for 20 minutes and not see a car. Coming, going, anyway, you know, yeah. It's just like we're out there and it's beautiful country, really.
Well, you don't look at the road a lot, so you wouldn't see one.
Well,
anyway.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Well, I'm driving so fast, no cars behind me can keep up. Yeah.
Exactly. That's fun.
Yeah.
Hey, what was the concert?
Well, the concert that night was, Well, here's the point. We didn't go to the concert that night. She didn't get tickets for it.
Oh, okay.
It was Cody Johnson. Cody
Johnson.
And Sarah saw Cody Johnson not long ago, so she's like, I'm okay if we miss
him. He's a real rodeo guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was his background, right?
Yeah.
And got hurt or something?
He's a great singer, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorites.
Well, he's got that Dear Rodeo song, right?
Yeah.
No, he's great. We told ourselves, here's our story we'll tell people. We went to Cheyenne Frontier Days to the rodeo and the Cody Johnson concert, and we heard Cody Johnson. Because basically, after we left Cheyenne, we listened to Cody Johnson for the next 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
It was a great time. And then had a little two-day trip with my three sons. We went just a little east of here on 40 and to a little lake, and we just went fishing and spent the night at a little Airbnb we found. And it's just been a really fun month for me, just traveling with every part of my family, my wife, my daughter, and then my three sons. So today's Laura's birthday, so we're celebrating her tonight. So it's just a fun season right now, but I'm glad to kind of get back to a little bit of rhythm after all of July movement.
After taking the July off.
Yeah, yeah.
I made a quiche for your wife this morning for her birthday.
You did not.
Well, I really didn't. I put it in the oven for Jen, though.
Well, so, that counts.
It does count.
That counts.
And I didn't burn it.
And it looked, I think it looked good.
Turned out good. Good. Well, I knew they were coming. I didn't know they were going to eat at your house. That's funny.
They're not at my house. They're at Lori's house.
Oh, there's a pool party. That's right.
Yeah.
Pickleball, pool, and quiche. Would you like that for your birthday?
Might be for my 110th or something. One of the birthdays after I'm dead. That'd be great.
Why not?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. That'd be fine. I'd be fine. Yeah.
Oh, that's so fun. How's your July been? Since we've been apart for a month.
I think
that's
it's been
always
fine.
Your answer. I don't know why I ever ask.
I don't know. I'd have to think back on it. It's been hectic. Working a lot. I don't know if we've done anything fun other than low. We did have Caroline here for a week, my daughter.
Oh, yeah.
So that was a good time. We're going to Dallas today to see her.
Oh, you both are?
Well, we got family from everywhere coming in. There's probably 15 of us going for different reasons, but we're all congregating together. So it's going to be a wild one.
I immediately go, oh, so fun. Your word would be wild or something else.
It's going to be nonstop.
Yeah.
There will be, my family coming from Little Rock because one of my nephews is at SMU and one's at Baylor.
Okay.
Caroline, her roommate, who we know is a family friend, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, Jen's sister, live there.
Okay.
They're kids.
Okay.
So all of those crews together, everybody likes to have a good time. We all get along. We can intermingle that part of the family together. And I have no idea, but it'll be a struggle for me to keep up. That's all I know.
That's great.
My brother-in-law and my daughter will keep us rolling. Let's see. We fly out today. And we come back. Jen and I come back Monday. I think some of the people leave Sunday.
Okay. Well, that's great. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
That'll be good.
Good. All right. You were just talking about something when we walked in. Living in the South.
I was.
Do we want to talk about that? I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the context of it. No, I just think that, kind of a sidebar segue, I guess, into that. Over the last month, I had a really fun lunch with my son. We had a great conversation just about things in the world in general. Mm. Kind of a similar conversation with my daughter while she was driving home from work one day. We were on the phone. I had lunch with our friend Joe's youngest, Eli.
Oh,
it was great. Yeah. And then Jake, you're middle, and I've had some interactions lately. We talk a lot, but I just thought, man, I love that generation.
Yeah.
20-something to early 30s, just the all that generation, just the way they just think differently.
Mm-hmm.
They're not, I think they get a bad rap for a lot of things they don't do.
Mm-hmm.
So two points, I guess, to that. One is there any generation that's done everything really well?
Right. Exactly.
I mean, there was a book called The Greatest Generation, mm-hmm. and they did a lot of great things in terms of mm-hmm. duty and mm-hmm. and honor and all those things, mm-hmm. and we're grateful. And they're human beings, so I'm sure they had a downside.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, they raised my generation, and there's some swing and misses they had.
Boy,
I know that for a fact.
About it. And so every generation has things we do well and things we don't.
Yeah.
This one, I think, gets a bad rap. But, man, they are thoughtful mm-hmm. and intuitive and really smart.
Mm.
And so it was just fun to – and those four that I just named are very different.
Mm-hmm.
They do different things. They have different beliefs. Definitely different political beliefs
mm-hmm.
among even the four of them. And so, but man, it's just a good
just
conversation.
Refreshing.
I thought, one of the things I told you when I walked in, I said, one of the things I do not like about there's good and bad to being raised in the South.
Yeah.
I detest being bound by decorum.
Huh.
And I don't know what that is in me. I'm not saying that's right. And some decorum is appropriate, but
sure.
Tradition and decorum just by themselves, or it just drives me crazy.
Say more about that. Can you illustrate something?
Well, one of the conversations I was having just with Jake the other day, and I don't think he'll mind me sharing this, but it's just I grew up in the South, and there's just there's a push to embrace, don't show your feelings.
Mm.
Although that was not necessarily true in my family,
right?
Which I loved about my family.
Mm-hmm.
There's a push to, I'm just a good old Southern boy and, not very smart and mm-hmm. all that stuff. And mm-hmm. I don't like that,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Jake and I were kind of joking around about that. And I just made the comment, both he and I were both joking and probably saying inappropriate things. But I said, man, you know, don't ever sell yourself short on that. You're off the charts smart. And
what a gift.
You know, I think he knows that. And so I don't like that perpetuation of that in the South.
Yeah.
You know, that it's just we do things a certain way. We've always done it this way. Maybe everybody does that. I'm sure it's that way in every region. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know for why that's a particular bone with me. Yeah. The tradition, just, it's not the traditions necessarily. It's being bound by them.
Yeah. Like, that's all I am.
That's all I am, and I can't do anything else.
It might be more than that.
Yeah.
Or I can't do anything else. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There's things we don't talk about, things we don't do, and, you know, just don't, I don't love that.
Yeah. It's interesting, you know, I think growing up with that for so long and being around it, and mastering how to do it, you know, the first 20 years of my life by living in the middle of it, and then moving to Chicago for those next 18, 19 years, is a very different cultural world up there. I mean, they've got their own things too, but
sure.
I think it's been interesting. I think moving back home 25 years ago now, being back in Tennessee, I love being back in the South. And even as you say that, something I think of often is I feel like I don't fit back home anymore. I feel like I don't know where I fit. You know,
yeah.
I think it's those years in the Midwest opened my eyes to see some things. I thought, ooh, I don't know if I like that or not anymore. But at the same time, I missed and longed for a lot of what I love and value about being in the South now.
Like what?
Well, I think part of it's just the way of life. I love that people talk to each other easily in a grocery store, in the Target, and I can't believe I said that. In the Walmart.
If you say the Kroger's, we're going to have to pause Kroger's, and start the conversation over again.
No, that's one of my pet peeves, and I just did it. But you know, I do. I love the friendliness of the South for the most part. I mean, I think a community like ours is changing, but because it's becoming so diversified, I suppose, with so many people moving in from other parts of the country. I do love, there's something about being in the South where, of course, the weather and just the seasons that aren't so extreme, especially in the cold ones. I love that. I think I miss the food. I miss the ambiance. I do miss the college sports world, especially football world, you know, with that just coming around. That's all, you know, that I love that more than the NFL. I know we're just opposite on that. But so I think there were so many things when I was in the North that I thought, gosh, living in Chicago, that I really missed about being here. But then coming back, I realized, ooh, I don't want to put that back on. Kind of some of the stuff that you're talking about, you know, I don't want to develop that shtick. And yet, I can find myself falling into it because it's, again, those first 20 years of life, it's deeply ingrained in me. So I appreciate you seeing that and naming it and wanting to kind of rise above it or fight against it even.
I'm sure I'll get some kickback from this from people in my family, but it probably bothers me more than it should. You know, I know there's some of that in me. Just the, you know, I'm a naturally...
contrarian?
Yeah, yep. Rebellious.
You said that before.
You know, rebellion is a good word to me.
Before.
It's not always good, but there are times rebellion is good. Our, you know, our country is the byproduct of a rebellion.
Right.
So, but I recognize that's something. It's just something. I don't know why I thought, gosh, man, sometimes there can be such a push in this region to just maintain where you are, maintain who you're supposed to be, as opposed to just being all God made you to be, wherever.
Well, if we're not careful, I think
you're a Southern and you're a conservative, so you believe this, or you're, you know, you just, all the labels just, I think they just bother me.
I have to wear them because of where I am.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it can be a limiting factor too, right?
Sure.
You know, where, well, this is what my daddy and my granddaddy did, therefore this must be what I do or who I am or what I think or believe or choose or vote or whatever it may be, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
I remember having some of those kinds of conversations when I was a kid with my grandparents or my dad sometimes. And, it, you know, it's just, I always knew when I said something that triggered something, there's this long silence, you know, if you question, just questioning things, why don't we do that, or why is that, you know, anyway.
But that's interesting,
so. What do you not like about the South? Do you still like college football as much as you did 20 years ago?
Boy, that's a hard question. Like, I love the idea of it. I love the energy, excitement I feel when I get here. But it's hard to love it the way I did 20 years ago, I think, because it's so not the same product. You know, it's changing so much. And I don't know that it's all for the bad. It's just, you know, there was this, I think I miss loyalty. I value loyalty so much. Mm-hmm. You know, so I see these kids that play at 8 schools in 4 years, and I just go, well, I mean, good for you. It's capitalism at its finest at one level.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But I think it changes the sense of those are my guys. I loved that part, you know, watching a kid develop from freshman year through senior year.
For sure.
You know?
For sure. So let me ask you this then. So what duty, so does the school have any loyalty to the kid?
That's a great question.
Does loyalty only run one way?
No, it has to go both ways, right, at some level. Mm. But I don't know. I think I'm so ignorant on all that. I know enough to be dangerous, maybe the better way to say about this whole
right.
NIL world. And, you know, plus, how do you ever know the truth about anything? You know, I followed the Tennessee and the Nico story. Just was curious about what was going on. But I don't know if I know what really went on. You
right,
know,
right.
There's one part I admit that sounds like, okay, was he just an entitled little brat and good for Tennessee for standing up to him? But I'm smart enough to go, that may not be the story.
Right.
You know, that may be the story. They found a way to figure out how to run him out of town and make him look like the bad guy. Who knows anymore?
Yeah.
But
it's hard to know.
But it is different. You know, I was watching some the other day, something came up on maybe it was on Netflix or wherever I was watching it. But it was some old, no, it was on YouTube. I was just looking at YouTube. But it was some old college football, like probably 30 years ago. Hmm. And I'm hearing some of these speeches. I mean, these are iconic guys, you know, that we're listening to, the guys you and I watched growing up, the Bear Bryants, the Woody Hayeses, even, you know, Joe Paterno's, and, you know, forget about legacies being soiled. But there was something so different about even the way they coached and the way they called out guys, you know, to step into something. Now, there was also probably a lot of abuse that was going on in that
right,
world, too.
Right.
But I think there's a part of me as I get older that I go, gosh, I miss just that sense of we're going to go and take the field, as opposed to, I just started watching last night this Any Given Saturday series. Mm-hmm. And just in the first episode, I was just like watching the difference between how Brian Kelly coaches at LSU and how Shane Beamer at South Carolina.
Right.
Just entirely different philosophies of coaching, you know, and I thought, well, how does that impact the kid? Forget the money part of it. Even how does that impact the kid where they end up playing? So I don't know. I still love the game. I'll look forward to it. But yeah, I think how I feel about it has changed in 20 years for sure.
Yeah, I think what you said at the beginning, the you know, it's fall's coming. I had a buddy that we were having dinner with the other night, and he's very disappointed that my love for college football has dwindled over the years.
Yeah.
You know, and I like, but what you said I think is true. I love the idea of it, and mm-hmm. I'll still follow my team and I'll still watch it some, but it doesn't hold the allure that it had.
Yeah.
You know, 20, 30 years ago for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, loyalty gets mentioned a lot. I hear a lot of people say that. But I think we think about it sometimes only one way.
Right. I agree.
I mean, coach sits in my living room for months, calls me, my family. I come to his school and he leaves the next year.
Right.
Or I work for a company for 10 years or 15 years and, man, I'm going to endure and I'm going to be loyal. But, you know, when I step back and look at it, what have they really done mm-hmm, for me? Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe something, maybe nothing.
Yeah. I mean,
they provided me a job, but it's free markets. So I just think, you know, loyalty gets looked at one way.
Yeah. It was, No, that's all.
I do like the challenge of it too, though. Sometimes it's, you know, like in the case you mentioned with Nico Iomaliava, I think I said that
good
right.
Good job.
Thank you.
That's why I use this.
We worked
name.
On that because my daughter's a big UT fan, so we practiced that last year.
All for nothing now.
Yeah,
unless
but you know,
become a UCLA fan,
right? But I mean, just stepping back, you go, okay, you pay a kid a couple million dollars. He's 19 years old.
Oh yeah.
You go to the college football playoff, and to expect him not to, or someone in his entourage not to want $4 million.
Yeah.
That seems silly.
Yeah.
Of course, he's going to want more. I mean, mm-hmm. you've already set the precedent, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so. I mean, hell, at 19, if you'd have paid me $2 million and I had some success, I would have probably asked for $4 million.
Yeah.
You know?
Double it up.
So that whole part of it's fun. But I think it's interesting to see how coaches and business leaders react in this day and age because you get people for a shorter period of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can you get a kid to play for your team and build the chemistry in 2 years instead of four?
Yeah.
Can you have a system that's easy to understand?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, guys that do what I do for other companies will tell you, you got to keep your resume ready. And I've told younger guys that you're the shiny object in this particular role for a while.
Right.
And then you'll lose that shininess.
You'll
and
get
you gotta
dull,
move on.
Right.
Yeah.
just the way of the, just our industry.
So. Well, in some ways, college football's having to do what college basketball had to learn several years ago.
Right.
You know, where you're one and done kind of, you know, and maybe it's not one and done. You're jumping to the NFL. You can't do that in college football, but I'll jump to another program or another school.
Right.
Or the conference.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's why the, you know, I think if you look at the latest data, you know, college basketball's ratings are way down.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a professional season in terms of length almost.
Yeah.
Without the quality.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. You know, a lot of better things to do on my Tuesday night or Saturday afternoon, probably.
Than college basketball.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Welcome to the ESPN podcast.
Yeah. With two guys who know very little.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not a lot.
Well, at least one of us, me, who knows very little.
What was the highlight of your camping trip?
Sitting around the fire, just like we always do. You know, we always have one night where we sit around the fire and just kind of catch up and laugh a lot and kind of engage each other to a really honest level and hear what's going on, and always appreciate those conversations. It's just so easy to be together. I think I found myself several times on that trip. We had one little paddle boat that came with the property that we had rented, and then Jonathan brought along a canoe that he had borrowed. So between the four of us, you know, we were out on the water a lot of the time. The guys were out there nonstop. I took a nap on Saturday in the middle afternoon, and but I think there was several times I would find myself looking, seeing all three of them out there, or being out there with them, and just looking, going, "Man, I'm it's that old Ben Rector song. I'm the richest man in the world. I'm the luckiest man in the world. My boys really enjoy being with each other." Hmm. And I think for the most part, enjoy having me around too. And so we just had, I think it's just those good conversations. That we fished, you know, all three of the boys caught some fish. I tell you, I'm not a fisherman still.
I was going to ask you about that.
I grew up fishing so much.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. I know
that
how to
surprises me.
Take a rod and a reel, well, not do a rod really, but a reel apart and put it back together. I can fix anything out there. I understand the big idea of, you know, fishing lures and what you use and don't use for different kind of fish.
But the pace of it surprises me that you would like.
I always joke, I mean, I know this is not my joke, but I always say I like catching. I don't like fishing, you know, because fishing is, it's the same thing with hunting. I don't like hunting it. Let me find something to go shoot and I'll go with you all day long. But yeah, fishing for me is just it's slow and tedious, and I'm not patient enough.
Yeah.
Well, that's what a couple years ago, I went on a fly fishing trip out in Montana, and I went with we went on these drift boats, and these drift boats are these small little boats that you can stand up on. You know, you got a place to lean your legs in, and super safe. And we're going down this river, probably went 4 or 5 miles, 6 miles down the river. I don't know. Good way. We were out there for several hours. And what I loved about this kind of fishing is you're constantly moving, so you're in a different location all the time. Mm. And of course, this was like rich man fishing. So I had, there was a guy that was rowing our boat and who was, you know, if I need a new fly, he would change it out for me. So, you know, all I was doing was casting. And I did like that. And, of course, the day I went, I caught a lot of fish. So, again, I enjoyed that part of it. But, yeah, just fishing. I just love watching my boys. They're like my dad. You know, they are so much like my dad. He could just sit on the dock or be out in a little boat for hours on end and come in with two fish. And I've had the best day. And and all three of our sons and Sarah. Sarah's the same. It's funny, actually, a couple of the guys, they didn't have fishing gear, or they had it that was broken. So Sarah ended up loaning three of us fishing gear because she has so much herself.
Wow.
She goes a lot. So it was a fun time.
Huh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know y'all's family were fisher people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. When we'd go to my dad's house growing up, Dad would always take them down. He had a little creek river right down the edge of his property. And they would always go down. And I just have these memories of my dad sitting on the dock and just all he did was constantly baiting somebody's hook, a lot of live, you know, little live worms they would fish with. And he was so patient, would just do that. And so when Dad died, I remember the day Dad died, Sarah and called Jacob, or Jacob called Sarah, one or the other, and said, "Hey, let's go fishing." And it's like the two of them took off and went fishing. And I think it was just this reconnection of memories, you know, as a little kid.
Right.
And, I mean, they already were doing some fishing then. But, yeah, Sarah, man, she goes, gosh, once a week? I don't know. I mean, she goes quite a bit.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
And Jacob kind of – Jacob seems to go quite a bit, and he's starting to go, like, he showed me a video yesterday where he's taking his son, Valor, bought him his first rod and reel, and Valor was learning to cast it yesterday.
Oh,
so,
man.
You know, yeah, they're fishing kind of folks.
Nice.
Yeah, more than I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're a camper.
I can be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, it's funny. I grew up camping, fishing, and hunting. And I think the Chicago days just kind of living in the concrete jungle kind of took it all out of me. But when I get back around it, I find, gosh, I really enjoy this.
So you think if you'd have stayed here, you would have kept doing those things?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah, I really do. I really do. Because mm-hmm. I was doing them even when I was in college. But I think that when I moved to Wheaton, it was just like, okay, when am I going to do this now?
This place has AC. That's pretty nice.
That's right.
My tent's not cool.
Maybe that was it. Yeah. And what's your line you always use about camping? Your idea of camping is what?
I stayed at a Hampton Inn the other night.
I love that line.
Yeah. Then I went camping. I grew up camping, you know, and looked forward to it. Yeah. With my grandparents. Yeah.
Okay. I did not know that.
On my dad's side. Yeah. I had one side of the family that didn't camp and one that did. We fished. Same thing. My grandfather would go out on the boat, man. I'd go out with him in the mornings, but I'm like, oh, man, I know this is going to be an all-day thing. He was meticulous and very patient, and with me anyway, and slow. And, you know, we didn't cast. We were just like, you know, crappie fish or brim fish with the cane poles. And,
oh, that's in the middle.
Yeah, and so, man, I struggled at times there. But
really?
Yeah. But I had my bike, and, you know, it was camping. You were a kid. But I look back on that and go, I think if I proposed that to my family, there would be a silence, and they would look at me like, what do you mean, Dad? What are we going to do? Now, I know people that love it, and it is a great activity.
Oh,
and people that – I love to hike and love to be outside. But I don't have enough technical expertise and enough attention to detail to be able to navigate that world very well
as
a camper.
Yeah.
And – because the people that are listening to this that know me would say, tell the truth, I really love air conditioning. So much so that I just bought a new air conditioning unit.
Did you really?
I did.
Yikes.
But, man, it works great. Uh-huh. And it's cool in my house.
Hey, you love it now, don't you?
And I really like it.
Do you have to do top and bottom? Or
No, just the downstairs.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Upstairs is coming, I'm sure. But
not
for
not
a day.
One at a time.
Only the downstairs. Yeah.
That's great.
So, yeah, my camping days are probably
when you over. Said hiking, I don't do it often, and I wish I would more and more. And I think this trip to Wyoming, you know, Sarah and I, we went 9.5 miles one day, and it was,
yeah,
I loved every second of it. It was so much fun. You know, just note to anybody that might be listening in, if you go out west and go hiking, rent the bear spray or buy the bear spray, one or the other. We didn't. And we're out hiking.
Give you an amen on
like
that.
Yep. 5:30 in the morning, you know, we're out there before anybody, and we've been going for a while, and we're going down this one little canyon path. It's gorgeous. Everything out there was gorgeous, and we're just hiking along, and probably about 50 yards to the left of us, we see two bears. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, why are we doing this? Just the two of us out there. And there's a stream/creek, I wouldn't call it a river, between us. But I also know a bear can navigate that in a nanosecond if they want to.
Right.
And we're walking along, and man, I mean, there was about 10 minutes where I was just like in hypervigilant panic, shaming the living daylights out of myself. How can I be here with my daughter and not have bear spray on me right now? Obviously, nothing happened, but that was a dumb moment. But the hiking itself was glorious. It was so much fun.
That is a beautiful part of the country. We went to... Years ago, we went to Jackson Hole and Victor, Idaho, right across the
We
state
stayed
line
just
there.
Beyond Victor. We went over to Driggs and stayed.
Yeah. So cool. But one, we did a hike, and I've got pictures, and we saw, I mean, just kind of like you're saying, right across a very small ravine. There they are, and
yeah.
You know, there's several people on the trail, so you know that are used to it, I think. But it is unnerving a bit, you know.
Yeah.
I've never seen a bear in Tennessee. I know we have them, but I've not seen them.
Yeah,
mainly because they're not on Franklin Bridge Golf Course or in Sullivan Farms neighborhood necessarily. Yeah, right.
In your backyard when you mow.
Right, not in my backyard, and so it's a new thing. But that's a really cool part of the country. Obviously,
what parts of the country have you not visited that you'd like to travel and see?
Oh.
I've been thinking about that because I loved this trip to Wyoming, and I thought, okay, there's other places I got to get to.
And I've been almost
everywhere.
So we've done a couple of those kind of Jackson Hole trips. We had one trip. This will tell you about our family a little bit. Good and bad. I don't know if it's even bad. It's just a fact. So we're going to take the kids a few years ago, kind of in the middle of college or maybe before they started college, going to go to do the Yellowstone thing on the north side and go to Big Sky.
Yes.
And do all that. And Bozeman. So we do some preparation, and my wife does most of that. And we're ready and looking forward to it. Everybody's excited. We get on the plane and sit down, and I'm on the aisle. Jen's in the middle, and there's a guy to her left. And so they're chatting. I'm not really involved in the conversation. And where are you going? Hey, I'm going back home. I live in, Montana. Where are you guys going? Oh, we're going out to Yellowstone. I'm going to do this on the North Ridge. He goes, ooh, I don't think you are. And he said, did you see the news?
Was this the flood?
And we're not news people. So, yes.
Wow.
It flooded.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
We go, all right. So we go up, we drive to our resort, and man, sure enough, beside every road that's got a bridge and a creek, I mean, it is running. Flood warnings everywhere. Mm. We get to Big Sky, it's basically closed. It's a resort. And so we thought, okay, we'll go on up to Glacier Park or wherever we were going next and figure that out. Well, as we do a little research, a lot of the roads are closed, and we can't, if we could by some chance get there, we're probably not going to be able to do anything.
Oh my gosh.
And so we were thinking, and so we have a little family meeting in our Airbnb downstairs after a day of this, and like, we can't stay here. There's only one restaurant open. This is a waste of time. So we kick around options of where we can go, and we decided, all right, let's go. Several places we couldn't go to for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
The most logical option was to go to California, Northern California, and go to Sonoma, Napa, and just kind of kick around in that area a little bit.
Yep.
Go to the vineyards, hike, do some things. So we did. 14-hour drive. Everybody had a job. I think Will was navigating, finding us a place to stay halfway, because I can't drive 14 hours.
Yeah.
Jen was trying to get our money back on one thing. Caroline was trying to get our money back on another thing.
Oh, my gosh.
And so we just made it. We established a little family business. And we were so, honestly, we were, in the moment, there was some tension, but not a ton.
Yeah.
I mean,
you rolled with it.
We did. And it was I think our kids would go, that was one of the most fun times. The trip was incredible out in that area.
Yeah.
But the getting there story was great. Yeah. I mean, we flexed.
Yeah.
And now I may get home and Jen may say, hey, you're leaving out parts where we did not flex. And so I'll just say that, let's just add that qualifier. Maybe I am. I'm old and I forget things. But as a whole,
it felt good.
Yeah. So I've been to Northern California, I've been to Southern California.
Did you get as far as the Redwoods and do that?
We've done that before.
See, I want to do that. I haven't done Redwoods.
We've done a L.A. up to San Francisco, and then we've done San Francisco down to L.A. where we went to the Redwoods. We've done San Diego up to L.A., and then gone on the one on the north. So that was really fun. I've worked in the Northeast, Boston, Maine.
Okay.
Been to the East Coast. Work and vacations. I've been to most places. I haven't spent a ton of time in the Dakotas. Nor have I spent a lot of time, although some, in like the Kansas, Nebraska area.
Uh-huh.
Don't know that that's on my bucket list,
right,
really.
Right.
Yeah.
I've driven through it once. So it doesn't really need to be on your bucket list.
I don't think so.
There's a reason they call it flyover states, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I'm sure there's beauty in it, just like there is in the Wyoming and the Dakotas as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Where do you want to go?
I think it really is. It's getting further north in California. I've done a lot of southern and central California, but everything around the Bay Area, I've never done the Napa, Sonoma. Would love to do all that. Would love to get up to Redwoods. Would love to see those
beautiful
big old suckers, I just think that would be magnificent. I'd love to get all the way up into, there's a lot in Oregon I'd like to get to. It's funny, Laura's dad has retired out there, but anytime we go, fly into Portland, drive straight to his place, and we're there. But, there's other places it'd be fun, I think, to see there. I've done a lot of Seattle and northwest, a lot of Southwest as well, like you have, I guess, the Arizona, New Mexico, Indian reservations, did some of that years ago. For me too, there's some, down in the southern part of Arizona, Monument Valley, I think is what it's called. There's a national park down there I'd love to go see. And then there's a lot of Texas I want to get to. I've been in and out of Dallas just business wise, but that's about it. You know, I want to go do kind of a barbecue trail. You know, I think flying to Dallas and hit Austin and, you know, just kind of a big loop of barbecue for a three-day trip sometime. I think that would be so much fun.
Texas barbecue.
Just a different level.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It is. Sorry, all my North Carolina friends.
Yeah.
But man, it is.
Yeah.
It's just, it's another world.
I did one in there's so many wealthy cities there. Just a little north of Grapevine. It's got two words for its name. I can't think of it right now. Flower Mound.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I was in Flower Mound once, and a friend of mine, Tony, took me to an authentic Texas barbecue pit, you know, and I can't remember the name of it, but it was awesome. You know, the first room you walk in is literally all the flames and all the smokers, and they're cooking, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And it's hot and it's smoky and it's awesome. And you go in the next door and, you know, you get all your meat on your plate and throw some sides on it, and then they weigh the plate, and that's how they charge it.
Right.
You know, incredible.
Oh,
you
yes.
know? But that was delicious. But I also know that, you know, and even Tony told me, he says, this is a good place. He goes, but the great places are further out of town. So I do want to go back and hit, I don't know, half a dozen of them in a few days, you know.
That's worth it.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Yeah, there's some other places. The Northeast, we've done, over the last couple of years, Laura and I, we've done Boston, we've done Philly, because I wanted to be in both those. I love American history, and those are great American mm-hmm. history towns. But there's still more than Northeast I'd like to go see. So I think this trip in Wyoming just stirred that travel bug in me, even in the States, of things I'd still like to do.
Do you and Laura travel well together?
We do. We do. And I think, you know, we did so little of it with our kids, or if we did it, it was very functional travel. I think when we look back, we realize that so much of our travel, because of where our families lived, was getting to see family. You know, we were in Chicago. Dad was in East Tennessee, so we'd travel there. Her parents were in North Dakota. We would travel there. And the only great memories our kids have of those trips, but it was just the same thing always, you know.
Right.
And then even when we moved here and settled, we became one of those families that did, you know, 30A or somewhere close by every spring break or most spring breaks. And I know you guys did really cool stuff as the kids got older, where you'd take spring break and go somewhere.
Well, that's because that's what you guys told us to do.
Well, I think you learned from our mistakes then. I'm so glad you did.
Yeah. You said the longer you can keep your kids off 30A during spring break, the better off you'll be.
And so stand
that's
by
all
that
my
as
wife
as
needed
alive.
To hear was, let's go. But those are great memories. I mean, we had a blast.
Y'all did it beautifully, man. Y'all really did. I honor you for that.
We had, there were, you know, there were tears at times.
Oh, I'm
there,
sure.
But then I got myself together. And
it's just money.
It's just money, yeah. And no, we had we had some great trips. So I would encourage younger families, when your kids get old enough, just, we've talked about that before, just trying to get away. They'll go begrudgingly sometimes, but they won't be begrudging about halfway through the trip.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The only other place there's probably other places, but the other big places, I want to do the Alaska trip one day.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to just do a cruise and see it from the water. I want to get in that country, and I don't want to go in the winter, obviously, for me.
Is it ever not winter there?
Yeah, evidently. There's supposed to be some beautiful summertime up there. I think it's a short window, but yeah.
I'm going to need somebody to tell me what that looks like.
Well, I'm sure it's cooler than Tennessee. I'm sure it's not as humid as Tennessee, but
yeah,
I'd love to do that. So anyway, who knows? We'll see.
I was going to ask you something about that. Have you ever been on a cruise?
We've done a couple of them, yeah.
And?
I'd probably do it again, just because I love the variety, you know. Travel overnight, you wake up in a new port of call, and you get to go out and explore. I love that.
People all around you all the time.
That part I don't love.
Oh, really?
I don't know them, and, you know, don't really.
Yeah, but you want to talk to the people in Kroger or Target.
Yeah, because
what's the difference on the cruise ship?
Because you might bump into these people on the cruise ship the next day.
Oh,
you
just never know who
they
are. That's true.
No, I did. We for a number of years ago, my brother-in-law and I pulled off a surprise trip for, you know, Laura and her sister, identical twins, obviously the same birthday. So we did a, I don't know, 4 or 5 day cruise. I think it was a Bahamas cruise, and we had so much fun on that.
Hmm.
And then Laura and I went on another cruise just a few years ago. Well, with our friend Joe and Lori, their musical group does one every couple of years, and we went 1 year with them. I think it was a week long, but again, it was a different place every day. I enjoyed that.
Yeah,
I think Laura and I both have kind of reached this point where we just realize, anything that's an all-inclusive for us is probably not going to be something we do anymore. We've done several of those. We did one in Antigua a couple years ago. Great trip, beautiful beaches, beautiful people, beautiful place. But we were sitting at dinner one night, and I'm doing fuzzy math in my head, and I'm going, I said, you know what? These all-inclusives are probably an awesome deal for people that drink a lot. I said, we don't drink hardly at all, you know? And I said, I'm sitting here doing the math of what we paid for this trip. And I said, earlier today I had my phone in and I was looking. The reality is, not that Miami is as good as the Caribbean, but we could have gone to Miami, stayed in the Four Seasons, and still had $300 a day for a food budget.
Yeah,
I think we need to rethink what we're doing. And we both are just laughing because we're not Four Seasons kind of people either.
Yeah.
But I just thought.
Have you stayed at a Four Seasons?
Well, I don't want to because I'm afraid I would become one.
Yeah. It's because like, don't say you're not I know, until.
I can appreciate that.
Yeah. I'm not if I can't afford it, but, you know, yeah. But man, yeah.
Oh, I could see that or the Ritz, either one, just being incredible. You know, I've read enough about them, but anyway, how did I get? Oh, yeah, so in our travel, I think the cruise slash all-inclusives, I don't know what we're doing. Have you guys done a cruise?
We have not done a cruise.
Thinking about it?
No. Not really. Jen may have a different take on this. I think there are some I would probably do a little investigating on, and there's probably some she would go on, but it'd have to be like, you know, European places. But my thought is always, I'd rather just do the trip myself and go the places I want to go.
Yeah.
Now the counter argument from some of our friends is, hey, they plan everything for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, Jen, you know,
but Jen loves to the her chagrin. Part, right?
Well, she likes it. She would like more participation from me. That's one part we don't do great together.
Yeah.
So I'm working to be better. But I would love to go. I like going on those kinds of things with some things planned where you're going to get the most bang for your, not buck, but the most enjoyment. I don't feel like if I've paid X amount, I've got to do 25 things to make it worth my while. There's no tie between those two things. I want the feeling and the enjoyment. If I go to Italy, and I love Naples, and we're there for 2 days, I may want to stay for three.
Right, right. You love that flexibility.
I love it.
Yeah.
And then, but if we want to do a food tour in Rome, then we got to sign up for that, and I'll be there at 8:30 to start that. You know what I mean?
But right, right.
And the all inclusive, I talked to some other people about this. We've done a few, and we had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
I love food, as you know, and the food is okay.
Yeah, that's it, too.
But it's just okay.
That's right.
And I don't love that part.
I'm 100% with you.
And I do drink, and so that part's worth it, but I'm not a big day drinker.
Yeah.
Like, I don't sit by the pool all day and drink. So it's not a ton of bang for your buck on that.
Yeah.
And it's just we did a couple in Mexico where I don't know if you'd want to go to, you know, I don't think you could stay in the town probably.
Yeah.
You know, get that, but... yeah, we'll probably. I'm probably not down for a cruise.
Yeah,
unless Jen really wants to go, or it's somewhere we're really dying to go, and that's the best option. But or the all inclusive, we've done pretty good at going our own places and figuring it out.
I think that's just fun. Yeah,
yeah.
I love being immersed in the culture when possible.
That's what I want to do. Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
when you talked about the cruise, we have some friends who've done a couple of cruises. You said something about European, and they've done. I don't remember the Rhine River. Maybe is that right? And evidently it's incredible. And it's a small cruise boat too. It's like 350 people instead of like 3,000 people or something, something crazy. And that one intrigues me. I don't know that I would do it, but that one intrigues me. I'm like, huh, that'd be cool. But then the first thing, because my mind is, well, I want to see more than just the stuff that's, you know, 12 minutes off the river. I want to travel the country. And I think when we went to Italy and we drove ourselves, I loved that.
Yeah, would be fun.
I really did. Even up in Tuscany going, hey, I know this is where the GPS is taking us. So let's take this road just to see where it takes us, just for a little, you know, hour adventure. And sometimes those adventures were the best things we did.
Yeah, I think there's parts of the world, like, you know, if you went to, at some point I'd like to go to Israel, the Middle East, places you can go. And that's probably something you need to be guided on.
I would think so.
You know, but yeah, I'd probably always prefer the more organic route with some planning in there and some... But I don't, you know, and it depends on who you're going with, too. Like, I learned early on, I think I shared this, that our kids like to be moving on vacation. Mm-hmm. And so
I'm the same way, yeah.
I can ease into the day, but that's not what we do on vacation.
Yeah.
So
yeah. You would have hated this Wyoming trip.
When you just said y'all met a bear at 5:30, I'm back, you know, I'm doing the math to go back to when you got up.
We got up every morning between 3:45 and 4.
That's not in the morning. Okay, that's like it in the middle of the freaking night, dude.
But Sarah and I can roll like that. We were on the road. We were rolling in these national parks between 5:30 and 6 o'clock every morning. And we had long days. And it was, I loved it. I loved it. Because we didn't miss anything. We saw everything we wanted to see.
Well, you missed something because the place is, you know, hundreds of thousands of acres. So, of course, you missed something.
We saw everything we wanted to see. I should say that way. I'm sure there was
that
something
you know
we
about.
Missed. Yeah. Yeah. Right. That ChatGPT and Google told us about.
That. So I hear that phrase a lot with our friend group. I want to get up and get going. I don't want to miss anything. That's another thought I rarely have, you know?
Yeah. You don't care if you miss it.
Well, I don't know because it depends on what I'm missing, and I like being in the moment of where I am.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not ready to get to the next thing if I'm enjoying what I'm doing.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
But I think our days were long enough we were able to stay and enjoy
what
we
liked. In fairness, when we did that trip, I mean, we were up early and gone, and, you know, they were long days too.
Yeah,
and one of our California days was incredibly long. Like, we walked 14 miles to different places, and I probably told this story before. My family said, hey, at the end of the day, we ended up in Santa Monica, and they said, let's just drive through In-N-Out Burger and Dad and get something. I said, absolutely not. Y'all have drugged me around the City of Angels for 12 hours. I've logged.
Not eating a burger at a fast food
14. Joint. 14.7 miles today I've walked. So everybody is showering, and we're going to the steakhouse down the street from our Airbnb.
That's exactly great.
They reluctantly did. We had a great time.
That's great.
Long days out there.
All right. Well, you got a plane to catch here before long, right?
I do.
Okay.
Speaking of travel.
Well, it's fun to get back together after a long break.
Yeah. This is pretty heavy today. If our listening audience needs some time to kind of, you know, wind down from this and us to take a break before we get into something else.
Yeah. Just shoot us a note and let us
know. This is really just a shoot the bull session kind of today.
It kind of was. But that's what Panera breakfasts were.
They really were.
So we'll shoot it again next week.
Welcome to season 3.
It's been
a good run.
All right. Bye.